Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of Thomas Cook India Limited, hosted by IIFL Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Akul Broachwala from IIFL Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rutuja. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, and thank you for joining us on the 1Q FY23 earnings conference call of Thomas Cook India Limited. I invite the company's senior management team who are here to discuss the results and business strategy. We'll begin the call with opening remarks by Mr. Madhavan Menon, Managing Director, followed by the management team, and thereafter we'll open the call for a Q&A session. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Menon to take proceedings forward. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, thank you for attending this call. I hope we are in a position to answer all the questions or queries that you have. I just want to kick off by rehashing what's happened over the last several months. We started our journey, return journey to normalcy sometime in quarter three of the financial year 2021-2022. It was interrupted, unfortunately, in January and a part of February. However, since then, we have seen an uninterrupted recovery, and this is the second quarter that we will report profits. I think the return to profitability, though a bit long, has been contributed by various factors. Obviously, the return of business, which saw volumes come across all our businesses. An important contributor has been the productivity improvements, like cost rationalization, upgrading of technology that we implemented over the last 24 months. When I say this, we are talking about cost savings anywhere in terms of payroll between 37%-45%. We're talking about having upgraded technology across the organization. Customer facing, you know, internal business processes. We've gone through a whole lot of change, and I think some of the results of this are obviously evident and contributing to our bottom line as we talk today. A primary driver behind all this has been customer centricity. By allowing a customer access to an omni-channel facility, which allows the customer as well as the agent in the organization to look at the same screen. Obviously seamless processes which allow the customer to choose how they want to interact with us, be it at a corporate or be it at a retail level. I think these are important benefits that we are beginning to see, and the bottom line sees a benefit from all these aspects. In terms of our medium to long-term objectives, one is maintain the cost savings, and this will be achieved through greater use of technology as well as improvement in productivity. Expand our customer base. I think one of the major benefits of this COVID, if I use the word benefit, is the expanded customer base that we are witnessing today. We want to use technology to get a better understanding of our customer, and this has been, you know, through enhancements that we've put in place, both in our businesses as well as in the CRM. Lastly, trust in the brand of Thomas Cook and SOTC. We see this as very important objective. I've always said this, that we will always focus on interacting with our customer and leveraging off the strong brand recall that we have across SOTC, which is today 33 years old, and Thomas Cook, which also has a long history. With that, I'll end my comments and hand over to Debashish.
Thank you, Madhavan. Before I start, I just want to mention the people who are attending this call other than Madhavan, of course. Apart from me, there is Mahesh Iyer, who's the CEO of Thomas Cook India Limited, the standalone company. Vishal Suri, who's the MD of SOTC. Mr. Vikram Lalwani, the MD of Sterling, is also on the call, and K.S. Ramakrishnan, the CEO of DEI, will also be addressing. So, very quickly, I'll take you through the financial highlights before I hand over to Mahesh. So, we returned to profitability at the standalone level after about 8 quarters. As Madhavan said, the recovery started from Q3 of last year, and it has finally moved to a stage that we could report a PBT on a standalone level. Our income from operations at 298 crores for the quarter represents a 3.8 times growth vis-a-vis the last quarter. The PBT is at about 6 crores, vis-a-vis a loss of 38.4 crores in the previous quarter. And this was after considering the mark-to-market losses on account of our holdings in Quess, which is not purely non-operating in nature. So if I adjust for that, the effective profit is actually about 11.5 crores. At a consolidated level, we reported 976 crores of income from operations, which is a growth of 87% quarter-on-quarter. At a PBT level, our losses after considering the MTM losses narrowed to 2.3 crores vis-a-vis 51.8 crores in the last quarter. And if I do not consider the non-operating MTM losses, then the actual PBT, underlying PBT for at a consolidated level is about 3.3 crores. As you remember, this was about 27.1 crore in the previous quarter. While an income grew substantially, I think we must also mention, as Madhavan said, that a lot of our success is due to the cost reduction efforts. We have been able to cut down our cost by 33% as compared to the pre-pandemic, and I'm talking about numbers for the same quarter, which is, all of these cost reductions are likely to stay with us. At a balance sheet level, we had a healthy cash balance of 850 crores as of 30th of June, against 640 crores as on 31st of March. And our loan book at overall consolidated level is about 473 crores. With this, I hand over to Mahesh, and he will take you through the forex and the travel businesses.
Thank you, Devishish. So quickly kind of giving you a bit of a snap into what has led to this kind of performance, I think it's important to highlight that all the businesses within the group, when I talk about whether it's foreign exchange, whether it's corporate travel, whether it is the B2B or B2C side of the travel, I think without exception, all of them have done well during this quarter. It's also important to highlight here that we had also guided the market in terms of the recovery, and I'm very happy to report here that our guidance, or rather we have overshot our own guidance in 3 out of the 4 quadrants of business that we operate. And to begin with, I'll start off with foreign exchange and give a quick snapshot of what happened there. On the foreign exchange side, our volumes grew about 40% on a quarter-on-quarter basis and reflected about 66% recovery to the pre-pandemic level. You will note here that we had guided to about 63% recovery when we spoke to you all the last time around, but our recovery on this front has been much higher. The key factors driving this recovery has been the retail business, and in specific within the retail, the education forex and the travel-related forex has actually started to bounce back. It's also important to highlight that retail is a high-yield business. Our margins in this business tends to about close to about 2.5%, and we are holding on to the yields in this business very strongly. Also important to highlight, while the corporate side of the business, the corporate FX side of the FX business is coming back slowly, we've seen about 60% recovery in the current quarter. But the important highlight here is to look at the card volumes. The card volumes actually grew 2x from about $80 million to about $150 million, and that's a very strong comeback. This reflects almost close to 115% recovery to the pre-pandemic level, and we remain very confident of the rest of the year as far as the foreign exchange business is concerned. If I guide you through our projections for the next quarter, we expect about 70-odd% recovery for the foreign exchange business in the coming quarter, and the current trends that we see reflect the position in that direction. Moving on to the corporate travel side of the business, again, a very strong performance coming from corporate travel. Important to highlight here that there is a restricted flow or supply of airfares, or rather airline air seats, and that capacity is coming back slowly. We are about 90% onto the domestic side and about 10% to the international, but despite that, our volumes are already crossing the pre-pandemic level. From a volume point of view, in the month of June in specific, our volumes actually touched the pre-pandemic level from a volume, from a value point of view, we are already ahead of the pre-pandemic level. Our expectation for the next quarter is about 125% to the pre-pandemic level, and this, as you know, is buoyed by two factors. One, the higher volume that we are seeing, and also the value which is currently at a heightened level. Important to also highlight here that we had guided the market to about 84% recovery, and we actually ended up the quarter at about 87%. So again, on this count, we've done well, and our expectation on this side of the business is that we continue to see this momentum coming. It's also important to highlight the point that Madhavan made in terms of technology. This is one business where we have infused a lot of technology into the business. We've actually put, automated the entire process of issuing a ticket and submission, because it's a cash guzzler, and we've kind of bought in a lot of efficiency in that process to ensure that we stay very lean as far as the order book is concerned. Coming to the B2B holiday side of the business, which is MICE, again, we had guided the market to about 44% recovery, 38% recovery, and I'm happy to report that we ended up at about 44% recovery to the pre-pandemic level. Important to mention here that we managed some of the large groups that we handled, the KLO India, the WHO conference. These are large marquee relationships that we have built over the last 12 months or so, and we see this becoming a very dominant share of our overall business. Yields on this business continue to be very strong, and it's also important to highlight that unlike in the past where we used to do some amount of digital events, this quarter we actually did all of it as physical. And that kind of reflects the mood of the nation, where people now want to come back and travel on the physical mode, and we see that recovery going very strongly into the next quarter. We are guiding the market to about 72% recovery in the next quarter, and we believe our current order book and what we will put into the funnel over the next two quarters should see us ending the year at close to about 80-85% recovery for the full year as far as the MICE business is concerned. Coming to the holiday side of the business, and as you would realize, the market is a bit slow to come, and also there are external challenges in the form of supply side from an airline point of view, supply from a visa point of view, and these continue to be a challenge as we speak. While we navigate these challenges, we are picking up opportunities that we see, and those are kind of reflecting well into the business and its comeback as we see. To just give you some sense on how the domestic and the international side of the holidays have played out in the current quarter, on the domestic side, we have seen a recovery of about 100%, close to about 100%, 78% recovery, but we are very confident that the recovery to the end of the year will actually surpass close to about 100%. For our forecast for the next quarter is about 94% recovery, and we see that coming back very strongly. Some of the key destinations, while there are destination-related challenges, there are airfare-related challenges, but despite that, the pent-up demand continues to be very, very high, and we see that auguring very well for the domestic business. On the international side, the two parts to it, and we've spoken about it in the past, the short haul and the long haul. While the momentum on the short haul side is very strong, the long haul continues to be a little subdued because there are these challenges with related to visa, and I'm sure all of you know about it, whether it is the European or whether it is the British, but I think all these visa challenges continue to kind of impact the growth that we see there. But despite that, we kind of got across to a projected number. We spoke about a targeted recovery of about 19%. We came close to about 18%. But looking into the next quarter, our recovery seems to be very, very strong. We are looking at about 42%. Our current guidance for the full year is about 65 to 70% recovery, and we see our volumes to be trending in that direction. It's also important to call out here that we've done a lot of work in terms of bringing new products to the market, being tactical in terms of the festivities and everything else. And at the same time continue to build on the technology, the footprint that Marvin mentioned, whether it is the distribution or it is the servicing side of it. We continue to invest in technology to make the entire experience for the customer very, very seamless. Before I end, I just want to quickly talk about one bit of work that we have done on the foreign exchange side. We built this entire portfolio around the study abroad, where there is this study buddy content that we are creating, about 130 plus videos, and we are now taking an industry leading position there as the India Forex specialist, and we believe that will augur very well for the business in times to come. On that note, I'll now hand over to Vikram for his inputs.
Good afternoon. My name is Vikram Lalwani, and I represent Sterling Holiday Resorts Limited as a Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer. I'm also joined by Mr. L. Krishna Kumar, Chief Financial Officer at Sterling Holidays Limited. It's a privilege to interact with all of you this afternoon. We are delighted to announce that Sterling continues its profitability streak for the sixth consecutive quarter, while also recording revenues in excess of 100 crores in a quarter for the first time, and an EBIT of 32.4 crores. This reflects and reaffirms our renewed growth strategy that involves, number one, scaling up of the hotel and leisure guest business at our resorts, thus impacting room revenues. Number two, increasing spends in terms of average room rates and food and beverage spends at the resorts. Number three, increasing cash generation in the membership business. The key factors, if I just highlight them, that propelled the growth in Q1 of this financial year are, one, we have had higher volumes at 73% occupancies in our resorts as compared to 52% quarter over quarter. We've had a very healthy growth in our average room rate. They have also surpassed the pre-pandemic levels by 35%. We had 5,100 average room rate in FY20 quarter one, and it's gone up to 6,900 in quarter one FY23. Our growth in guest occupancy percentage and rates, we had a 42% in Q1 FY20, gone up to 60% in Q1 FY23 in terms of the guest occupancy. Our improved focus on F&B revenues reflecting increases over last year and even 88% over pre-pandemic levels from 176 million in quarter one FY20 to 226 million in quarter one FY23. This is as a result of a three-pronged strategy to improve participation as well as spend at our dining outlets in our resorts. At the same time, improving the experience to increase our bar revenues by offering a wider choice of local food and beverage options to our guests and members. The cost optimization exercise that had been undertaken since 2020 and the cost line continues to be maintained in Q1 FY23. Resulting in a reduction of fixed costs by around 18% when compared to pre-pandemic levels. Offering our guests and members a wider array of leisure activities to choose from, which includes new products like picnics and pet-friendly resorts. 12 of our resorts are pet-friendly now, thus driving improved volume and incremental revenues at each of the resorts. In the membership business, the focus continues on driving profitable sales and improving our cash generation from the membership business. How did we do that? One, by constantly improving our online on-site sales, which is a zero-based fixed cost sales and a lower variable cost sales channel, thus delivering higher profitability in Q1. With the continued this variable sales model and strategy, our on-site sales have actually grown from 15% in Q1 FY20 to 44% in Q1 FY23. Strengthening the sales channels resulting in an increased average unit realization with a growth of over 7% since the pre-pandemic level. And number three, we have increased our down payments to 47%. As against 33% in the pre-pandemic level, thus resulting in improved cash flows. In line with our strategy of expansion, we continue to expand Sterling Resorts using an asset-light model of expansion. To this, we have actually launched two new destinations this quarter, Q1. One is in Madurai and second, Kalimpong. Madurai in Tamil Nadu is a pilgrimage come corporate destination and is one of the fastest growing destinations in Tamil Nadu. This resort was launched in April 2022. Kalimpong networks well with our resorts already present in Darjeeling and Gangtok, where we have a large presence with over 150 rooms, thus completing the destination circuit in that region. This resort is a heritage resort since 17th century and has been completely renovated, and Sterling launched it in May 2022. We also have a strong lineup of other properties and other locations that we are exploring and signing them on during the course of the year. Our outlook is pretty buoyant for the remaining part of the year. Q2 and Q3 will have quite a few holiday seasons that we can capitalize on, and Sterling is very confident of its results for the remaining part of the financial year too. Thank you.
Hi, my name is K.S. Ramakrishnan, and I'm the Managing Director and CEO of DigiPhoto Entertainment Imaging. A very good morning to all of you all. And let me start by firstly congratulating all my colleagues on the wonderful performance they've done across TC. And I guess we've just added an extra flavor to the same group by our performance, which has been fairly consistently growing from the time we're back out of pandemic. Because we are sponsored in about 18 odd countries across the world, we kind of the pandemic hit us the first, as we are operating in China, where it's first started, and also is lasting it till today, where it's still continuing in China. Having said that, overall, DI has had a substantial, not only recovery, but growth in the last three quarters. And I'm sorry, but I'll keep referring the quarters a bit odd as 1, 2, 3, quarter 1, quarter 2, quarter 3, quarter 4 as a standard year. Internationally, that's how we compute it. But I'll try my best to level it to whatever you all have used to hearing. So quarter one, financial year 2022, is when we started our recovery. And from there, in the quarter four, financial 22, which is quarter one for us, 23, we had a substantial, not only recovery, but growth. Today, overall, we have actually reached beyond the pre-pandemic level in certain countries. Our predominant countries that have helped us to grow our business is UAE and the US, and then a few pieces of Asia. While China has still not come out of the pandemic and still struggling in and out, Hong Kong, Macau has still not come out of it, our overall revenue has already beaten pre-pandemic levels by about 30%. The reason, and the most important reason of doing that, is through the pandemic, we worked through a strong ZBB-ZBO process that really helped us to grow both our top line and add more to our bottom line. And that is being shown on our EBIT levels pre-pandemic to post-pandemic. We had a nearly about 30 to 35% growth in our EBIT levels from pre-pandemic itself, which has been one of the biggest, I guess, and the best achieved from in our industry as far as photography goes. The key highlights are we've grown our geography through the pandemic. We've added two new countries, predominantly Korea, and also a cell model in Congo in Africa. So we kind of, now we operate in 19 odd countries as we speak. That's looking back, looking ahead, we see the next few quarters even being better. So in our line of business, as per the Indian financial calendar year, quarter two and quarter three are the biggest quarters. They constitute to 60% of the revenue. So we are very excited and looking forward for two strong quarters right now, back to back, predominantly because the global holidays fall during these quarters, from July to September and then from October to December. In fact, our last October to December quarter nearly covers about 35% of our annual revenue. So we are all set for a fairly interesting future. In addition to all that, we have invested strongly into technology, which is from Madhavan's comments and the rest of my colleagues' comments. We have taken this opportunity to revamp and rehash our entire platform, our digital platform. So a strong change that's going to happen to us in the next 2 years is going to be from being a B2B2C. We are developing a platform that makes us B2C direct, which kind of opens a whole new plethora of opportunities on imaging and photography that goes beyond the realms of just doing souvenir photography in theme parks. So the two main gains of this would be A, we're now not restricted only to those people who come to the park and come back to our counter to buy our pictures and thereafter go online. By this new platform and technology, they would have the choice to have the platform on their phones even before they enter the park. And therefore, through the park experience, through the visit experience to all our attractions, they would be getting the images real-time downloaded on their phones and they can play and work more with. And above all, beyond the experience, once they go back home, they have chances to still buy and continue the buying opportunity, which doesn't happen currently as we speak. So that is a huge investment the group, the company is doing. We've appointed one of the big five firms, Tech Mahindra, to do that for us. And all of us are very excited to look at 24, 25 of where we grow from here. So that's about the, that's a bit about our geography and about our technology. From an efficiency perspective, we've learned through the pandemic a lot of cost saving and cost cutting processes have been done that has brought our EBIT to a better level. Our cost of both labor and cost of material, which are the two main costs, have been very well structured right now, and that's helping us drastically on our comeback to profitability. Last but not the least, also the pandemic helped us to renegotiate our terms with our partners, which we are holding good so far, even after the comeback. Above all, I think the biggest opportunity right now that we have is in expanding our geography. There's a huge focus we're doing in the U.S. For the next 2 years, where we are just about, our market share is the lowest in the U.S. In the rest of the world, we have a market share of about anywhere between 50 to 80% of the countries that we operate in. In the U.S., we are not even less than 10%. So U.S. is a big opportunity, and we are looking at focusing on that for the next 2 years. While we do that, we are eagerly awaiting the comeback in China as we open two of our largest attractions in China, both the Universal and Disney, through the pandemic. So once that comes back, there again going to be a sizable growth opportunity out there. That's all from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sandeep Varghese, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations on the great set of numbers. Just a couple of quick questions. Referring the slide on segment revenues and segment EBITs, right? Right now, if you see with the financial services, we're looking at like a 23%, leisure hospitality 32%, digital photo imaging 7%. What are the EBITs, given the cost reductions that, you know, you all have successfully completed and hope to maintain in the future, what are the EBIT percentages we can look forward going forward?
Debashish, so on the cost reduction, as we said that we have said that in the last meeting as well, that we intend to hold on to the cost gains that we have done during the COVID period. You can see from our results that there has been a 33% reduction compared to pre-pandemic, and we expect to hold on to almost all of it. Now, in terms of the EBIT ratio, it is difficult for me at this stage to sort of give a forward-looking number. However, you can see that if you compare the results of the last quarter versus this quarter, the increase in the top line, the gains in the top line or the revenue has gone straight to the bottom line. So I think it's a fairly easy thing to say that any gains that we do in the net revenue, which is sales minus cost of sales, most of that will translate down into the EBIT number, and therefore it will be a pass-through. So it is right now what your focus will be on holding on to the cost levels that we have achieved and increase the top line. Does that answer your question indirectly?
It does. That's fine. I think I can sort of gather from what you just said. My next question is, at least referring the same slide, when do we expect at least travel and related services to be sort of back in the black from an EBIT standpoint?
This is Mahesh here. So as I mentioned, we've given some guidance for the next quarter. As I mentioned before, the momentum this quarter was more on the domestic side. The international recovery was slow. And when I say recovery was slow, it was not for the lack of demand, but for the problem on the supply side, which was augured by the supply side constraints from airline, capacity is not being full, and also challenges with regards to visas. But if you look at our forward-looking guidance, we are already saying that we would see a much better quarter coming forward, and that increase in volume should translate that into profitability. The point that Debashish made, we are retaining a large part of the cost efficiency that we have brought into the business, automated a lot of our processes, which would then mean that any incremental cost that will go in acquiring the volumes will only be related to discretionary marketing costs, which are the only expenses that will incur. So it should flow through, and our expectation is that in the coming quarter and the quarter after that, we should see this business getting back into the black, as we would think so.
I just have to add one more point to what Mahesh is saying. We also have a large amount of overseas business as of now, and some of that, and also the inbound business in India, which is not all of which has started firing. For example, the inbound business in India, the season starts only in late October and goes on till April. So it has not yet started operations. It's still in the contracting order procurement period. So we'll see that coming back in action in the next quarter. I mean, the third quarter of the financial year, the December quarter, basically.
Okay.
Likewise, for the DMS business, the destination learning services business, some of these units have started coming back to life, so to say. And for a few of them, the season, like for the unit in USA or the unit in Kenya, this current quarter, which is Q2, is likely to be a big quarter. Likewise for Asian Trails, which handles Southeast Asia, the business is restarting now, but will really go up to, will peak in the next quarter. So we can see results coming in from India as well as from the overseas units.
Great, thanks. Just two very quick questions last. Well, first on the P&L, in the other expense sections, point number two, there's a reference of about 100 crores. Could you share some light on what that amount is?
You're talking about the consolidated?
Yes, the consolidated one. In point number two of other expenses, there is an amount of 100 crores for this quarter.
Right.
Can you just share some idea on what that is?
So these will be all the, all the costs relating to establishment, travel, conveyance, marketing, all of that goes in there. Anything which is not covered by non-employee cost, or which is the cost of services that being provided to the customer, which is cost of sales. Everything else actually gets clubbed in there.
Okay, fine. And what percentage of the marketing cost might be of that 100 crores?
About 5.5 crores. 5.5%.
5.5%. Okay. Fine. Last question. And this is more from Mr. Menon. Mr. Menon, it's really positive to see such a huge cash balance of around 850 crores. What might be the plan, for that cash for that year? Like, is there a significant amount of investment planned out?
Look, I think we are in a consolidation phase across the group. And here I talk on behalf of DEI, Sterling, Thomas Cook, SOTC. I think we will continue to consolidate in the near future and look at opportunities as and when they arise. My primary focus at this point of time is to consolidate and rebuild the cash flow that we had pre-COVID.
All right. Thank you so much. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Nirmal Shah from Seraphic Management. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Congratulations for good set of results. I have one question with respect to travel vertical. Sir, if you can just give us some broader sense at what sort of revenues we can see the travel vertical as a break-even. Because if we go by the slide presentation, what you have shown, probably, you know, there is almost 2.5 to 3 times sort of a revenue growth on a QOQ basis. And we are at a loss level, at a EBIT. But if I compare from Q1 FY22 to Q4 FY22, which is there in your presentation, your revenues just moved up by like less than 2 times, but your losses actually were halved. So what? How do we, you know, look at this as a vertical? How do we look from a break-even perspective? Can you give some perspective on that?
Okay, this is Devashish here. As Mahesh mentioned, and as you know, that the travel vertical is a composed of many subsegments and includes leisure, B2B as well as B2C, the inbound and the DMS business, as well as the corporate travel business. So at the overall level, so each of these will have different levels of different range of cost, different and cost and revenues and gross margin percentages. And therefore, we cannot sort of club and say one common number. Having said that, you know, the reason that you see the cost, the reason that you see the loss is still there while your overall sales have moved up from 270 crores to 675 crores. Your question is that why have the losses not gone away completely? It has remained at seven, or it has gone down from 46 to 17 crores, but it's not gone down further.
Right.
That's because some of the, as we are mentioning, that some of the units are still not really operating or operating at a very minimal level. So the business in India has bounced back, and that the media reports are very clear on that. And the same has happened for some of the other geographies. The same has happened to, you know, in places like Dubai or Kenya, for example. But there are other places where the business is either not started or starting in a minimal way. Also, there's a whole lot of seasonality involved in all of this. So we expect that this anomaly will go away in the next over the next two quarters. Mahesh did allude to that while you're speaking, you know, earlier. So we expect that to go away. But I don't think it's right to just give a number at an overall travel, because the business are very diverse. While we club everything under travel, it is a business very diverse.
Right. So if I have to just get, for my understanding, out of your total travel vertical, the domestic, then outbound, then you have a DMS. So if you can just give us a sense, which are the businesses which have broken even within the travel vertical? Like, I do know, I have seen your press release. You have mentioned that SOTC has broken even. You have the domestic holiday piece. I don't know what is the sort of profitability you have, but on a standalone result, I can clearly see you have broken even. So on the DMS side, if you can just give us a sense, what sort of cost which is impacting your profitability? Because that is a piece which seems to be having the impact on your overall profitability, right?
Yeah. So the DMS business spans across multiple countries, in Southeast and Middle East Asia, in Kenya, South Africa, Australia, and as well as US. And though, while, as I said, some of the units have started firing, others haven't. So as of now, if you, we had a loss of the, across the various units that I talked about, the DMS business for this quarter lost at EBIT level, lost about 23 crores at EBIT level. While we saw the substantial reduction from the losses they made earlier, they did not break even. It is also pertinent to note that this is not the season for many of these places. For example, Middle East, which has actually bounced back, this is the summer season, and therefore there are very little travel revenues. Not too many people would go into Dubai at this time of the, during the April-June quarter. Likewise for USA, the travel season actually starts from end June, early July. So much, you know, and the peak season, similarly, the peak season for Kenya is actually July-August. So there is a bit of seasonality. So it is not a straight through sort of thing that it will be even amount of sales across the quarters. It will be a little different. So you'll see, that's what I'm trying to say, that you'll see a very different set of results probably in the next quarter as far as the DMS is concerned.
Got it. And just the last question on the domestic holiday side. In the initial comments, it was mentioned that there is a supply side issue with respect to the, you know, the airline tickets or even the inventory of hotels. So these issues, you expect those issues to get resolved in the coming two quarters, because of which your recovery indicators are not still over to a pre-pandemic level. Can you just give some comments on that?
Sure. So, this is Mahesh here. We expect some of these bottlenecks to be addressed over a period in time. If you ask me, it's going to disappear in the next one quarter, I would be a little cautious about it. I guess over the next two quarters or so, we should see this coming down. Obviously, the supply side challenges will come down. You're seeing new airlines coming in. Akasa just started off, and they will be filing for new routes also, new aircrafts coming in. There's Jet, which is likely to come back in the third quarter of the current calendar. So, obviously, we're going to see some more supply coming in. But those constraints are definitely likely to get a little more eased as far on the domestic side. But I think we should be mindful here to say that, you know, 2 years, a lot of the airline industry, aviation industry has gone through a lot of losses there. And I think there is this opportunity to skim some amount of revenue, right? So, yeah, everyone is having and customers are willing to pay. So, I think the supply side is a good problem to have. We have to look for the pearls within this and start picking up what works for us. And that's what we are trying to do.
Okay. So the overall perspective, you know, most of the hotel chains are actually showing the occupancy, which are sort of a pre-pandemic level occupancy, so higher than that. You have also shown some sort of that relationship in Sterling Holidays. But for domestic holidays, then what is the barometer for us to look at? Because on one side, the hotels are showing a very good occupancy. But when I look at your vertical, that we can't collaborate with that with the same thing. So is there some other indicators where we can actually track that your growth in the domestic holiday would mirror some sort of those macro indicators? Because hotels is already showing a very good growth. They are already above pre-pandemic levels, right?
So, you know, you've got to look at it because we, you know, Thomas Cook is a bundler of a service. We put domestic, international, short-haul and long-haul both to the customer as an offer to choose from. Now, you will appreciate that as market opens up and if domestic is going to be pricey, people will choose to, you know, shift their preferences from domestic to short-haul stroke long-haul destinations. I mean, today, traveling anywhere domestically is going to cost per person at least 50,000 rupees. Given that kind of a sense, people will shift from one to another. So what we are seeing is not the amount of customers coming to travel with us going down, but we are seeing also that customers are shifting. If a domestic holiday is going to cost him 50 and he can put another 20,000 rupees and go for a Far East holiday or a Dubai holiday, he would prefer to do that because he's got more value out of that and then he can actually go and brag that with his friends and relatives. So we see that trend coming in. And as we have guided here also, we expect our next quarter, which is Q2, FY23, we expect that recovery to be close to about 95% on the domestic side of it. This quarter was a strong one. We had seen about 78% recovery. And we had within this 78%, this is a quarter number, we had within this month where we have seen close to about 100% recovery also. But at a blended basis, we are at about 78% for the quarter. Our expectation for the next quarter is about 94-95%, and we expect that to trend in that direction.
Got it, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Mithun Aswath from Kiva Advisors. Please go ahead.
Just wanted to, you know, in line with a couple of questions earlier, if you go back to your March 2020 numbers, I think in the travel-related segment, you did about 850 crores. And you broke even at that point. So I just want to understand, when we reach those 850 crore type of numbers, even now, in the subsequent quarters, will our profitability be better or would be similar? Because this quarter with about 650 crore, we've done a negative EBIT of 3%. So that was my first question.
Okay. I will not dwell upon the numbers specifically on, you know, with this comparison, but just to give you a more generic answer, there are two things that we have done during the 2 years of the pandemic. One is our improvements in technology and the improvements in the in our cost structure, particularly in the India business, both of which Mahesh spoke about. And the result of both of that is that our cost levels are likely to remain at the same level as where we are And so the growth that we can, the profit growth in profitability or the reduction of loss, whichever way you want to see it, will come from an improvement in the, purely from the improvement in revenues. Now, Jan-March 20 is a very different season from April-June 22. Okay. Travel business, as you will appreciate, has a great deal of seasonality. And when I say seasonality, I also mean that it is very country, become very country specific. Also, various segments of the travel business do not operate at the same level of profitability. Some of the segments have a higher profitability than others, which is essentially the nature of that business. Therefore, the mix, part of the answer lies in the fact that the mix for April-June 22 would be very different from the mix that we had in Jan to March 20. So the comparisons are not, is not really like for like.
Devashish, can I just come in here? I think if you look at Jan-March 20, the primary contributor there was the DMS businesses, which are the two DMS businesses, which is in Asia and in India, which have not functioned this year. So that is not functioning at the moment. And right now, what you're witnessing is the outbound domestic as well as the corporate travel businesses, which are really contributing to that number.
Very correct, Madhavan. Absolutely right.
Right. So just to add to this, you mentioned they're not comparable. So would you say the businesses which were there in March 2020, which are not there now, when they come back, the overall profitability will improve because those segments are more profitable?
Certainly. Certainly. So today what's happening effectively is that we are paying for the cost of those businesses, but they're not generating any revenue or generating very little revenue. So once they come back to business, the business picks up, the units start reviving. There will be no additional costs that will be incurred, except maybe some degree of marketing costs or some degree of travel. But other than travel for the staff, I mean. Other than that, there will be no significant cost that will be incurred. So again, the revenues will translate straight into profitability.
Right. My second question was on the domestic travel. You mentioned that we are still, you know, targeting only 94% of pre-COVID levels. However, I think the Sterling business would have crossed pre-COVID levels and much beyond. What is hampering our domestic travel business not reaching the pre-COVID levels and more than that? Because that could not have issues on supply and visa and all those issues.
No, so this is Mahesh here. So I think I kind of clarified to the previous question also. It's not anything hampering the, as I keep saying, any challenge that come in the marketplace is an opportunity for you to look for. We are trending in that direction. If you look at the quarter-on-quarter volumes, I think there's two ways to look at this business. One is to look at in terms of volume, that's number of passengers. The other is to look in terms of value. In terms of value, if I start talking all of these numbers, they will definitely look much, much, much better. But I think it's also important to compare in terms of volume because that's the real health of the business. If I just put in terms of value, quarter-on-quarter comparison, we've actually grown 3x in terms of our domestic business. And that's been the trend that we witnessed all through the pandemic because that's the only market that was open. There were lesser restrictions, I would say, in terms of travel. And we continue to see that trend going forward also. But I think it's important to highlight here that from a domestic point of view, our comeback has been very, very strong. It was a portfolio that we were not a dominant player there on the domestic space. We were always looked upon as an international operator. And over the last 2-3 years, we've spent enough amount of marketing bucks in terms of getting this business on track. And we are beginning to see that kind of things playing out. I wouldn't actually make a comparison here to Sterling, but yes, it's a good data point as to look for us to compare to see as to how that occupancy rate is coming back and trending. And I think Vikram spoke about it. And I think we are seeing that trend. And we believe that our businesses are also trending in that direction. It's about 70-80%. And in cases for the next quarter, we believe that we will see about 90-95% recovery. And that will come back as the business goes forward. So honestly, to be very frank, a single line answer there is that we don't see any impediment to growth. It's all about how much of that opportunity you want to take and move forward with. And we are being very cautious about it. We're not spending tons of money and trying to lose money in terms of gaining market share.
My last question was on the cash balance. You mentioned it's 850 crores and your debt is 470.
So would your net cash be 400 crores? And I just wanted to understand what would your CapEx plans be for the rest of the year? And do you see our cash, net cash levels from that 450, move up appreciably as, you know, these businesses start generating a lot of cash? At the end of the year, do we see that 450 trending up to, you know, a much higher level? I just wanted to get a sense of that.
To answer the first question, our CapEx is not likely to be significant. As you know that we are a asset-light business. We like to operate in that fashion. The only CapEx that we'll have is probably for the technology upgrades that are happening across the various units. So that's the only significant part of the CapEx that will be there. As far as the cash balance is concerned, yes, you know, the profit that we generate will translate into cash. Some of that obviously will be, you know, I won't say consumed, but will also be deployed into working capital, because as the business volume increases, that some amount of cash does get deployed there. But other than that, the rest of the cash should flow into that bucket.
Okay. Thank you. So the net cash number is 460 crores, right?
Yes. If you take out, you're taking out the debt, right? After net, you're looking at the net debt or net cash.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Senthil Manikandan K from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on the consumer sentiment. So with the inflationary economy across the globe, so how does the consumer sentiment is going to impact, or what's your outlook on that?
Senthil, I'll take that question, and I'll get Madhavan to add in if he has to. Senthil, you know, I think we kind of indicated in terms of our guidance for the next quarter. I think that's a reflection of how we see the customer sentiments in here. Yes, there are inflationary pressures, there are border tensions, but I think we've seen this for one and a half quarter now. And I think despite all odds, we've been seeing the momentum being very strong. People want to travel. And I mean, the case in pudding is just the next weekend is going to be a long weekend. And if you were to be searching for any hotel, you won't find any decent four-star property in any place less than about 10 or 12,000 rupees per night. If you were to pick up for a return flight to any destination, whether it is tier one or tier two, you're not going to get a return airfare for less than 20,000 rupees. Now that augurs well in terms of the industry that we operate. While there are inflationary pressures, this is a discretionary category, and I think people have kind of saved enough over the last 2 years and now want to open their purse and go out and travel. So while we remain cautiously optimistic about it, I wouldn't think it will make any dent, at least in the next 2 quarters. I think there is enough reports also in the market to say that the inflationary trend seems to be inching downwards. We need to watch it. RBI has done enough to rein in the pressure on the rupee. And I think all these measures should help the discretionary category that we operate under.
Mahesh, thanks. Madhavan here again. Let me just come in. I think if you go back several months, input costs in the tourism industry, which obviously airfares, hotel costs, had already gone up. So in reality, you know, inflation pressures have not registered themselves because our input costs were higher. This did not stop travel, as Mahesh referred. Despite all these input costs being higher, people have been traveling. Additionally, you know, if inflation remains stable or is brought down, I think that we will continue to see travel. And this is reflected again in the numbers that Sterling has reported. You know, higher input costs, despite which their occupancy rates are at high levels, the highest levels, if I can correct me if I'm wrong. And, you know, this is going to continue for some time. So I don't think inflation in India is at the moment at least a determinant. And my expectation is that this trend will continue. Thank you.
In fact, if I may just add on here, Vikram, at the resorts or at the hotel level, we do face the inflationary pressure in terms of input costs, like input food and beverage costs or the landed costs of raw material at our resorts. The way we actually counter it is by bringing in more efficiencies through menu engineering, which we've actually implemented so that the impact of inflationary costs actually do not impact the customer. So we have to get a lot more efficient through menu engineering, through totally preventive maintenance of our daily sets, because the diesel costs are going up. So those are the measures that we take also to reduce the impact of the inflationary costs in our results.
Okay, thanks for the detailed answer. My second question is with respect to the DMS entities. So like quarter over quarter, I think the demand may fluctuate between one region to the other. But if we can give an outlook for a yearly basis, so any strategic initiatives you have taken for the DMS entities to see that there has been any turnaround happening over the next 1 or 2 years?
Look, the destination management entities, and I will specifically comment on Asian Trails, which is based in Southeast Asia, and SITA, DCI SITA, which is based in Delhi. The reality is, look, we can do everything we want, but this is essentially a B2B business. Travelers have to feel comfortable traveling long haul again. And I can tell you what we've witnessed so far is that it is early stages. Secondly, we are not in season, because if you look at the monsoon that is overtaking India, which is witnessed across India right now, Southeast Asia has also got its rainy season on over the next 2 months. So by what Devishi said earlier is that we are seeing forward bookings closer to the last quarter of this calendar year, which is the October-December, and closer to December, as well as in the first, the first quarter of calendar year 23, and what you call the last quarter of the financial year 22-23. So my expectation is that the DMS businesses will come back. We are geared and ready in terms of our quotations. There are constant queries. The pace of queries are only increasing day by day across these territories. Having said that, we witnessed a turnaround in the Middle East. We've witnessed a turnaround in East Africa, South Africa, and the United States already, because their seasonal activity has started. So, you know, it's a bit of a mixed bag, but it's only better days from here on based on the forward bookings that we are witnessing across all the businesses.
Okay, sir. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Can I take it from here, Devishi?
Please, Madhavan.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. And, you know, those are some very interesting questions that we saw, very good ones and pointed. I think I'm just going to address a couple of things which I did miss out in my introduction, but will sort of wanted to cover as a part of my closing comments. You know, Sterling has had a sterling performance. I'm sorry, Vikram, I'm using a bit of a pun here, but the reality is Sterling is doing extremely well. And this is something that we visualized when we made the acquisition 7 years ago. And I think through all the restructuring, the business has come into its own and its time. SOTC, a second company that clearly benefiting from the integration benefits with Thomas Cook, the cost savings that have been through movement of office and a variety of other activities, it's seeing the benefits of both technology as well as a customer-centric focus. A point that came up in the questions is the sustainability of costs. I think you know, this was not just a reduction in headcount, but it was a reduction of what we believe could be replaced by technology. And therefore, you know, there has been a very specific mapping exercise. So businesses no longer need to come back and say, I'm short of this headcount, and therefore I need to focus on it. A second point which I want to mention is the current sort of shortage that each and every industry in India is facing in terms of skilled labor. We have also seen this attrition, but something that we've done at SOTC, Thomas Cook, has been that we've gone in and hired freshers. We are in the process of training them and inducting them into jobs. The principal focus here has been that freshers are far more nimble-footed in terms of using new technology, and therefore we thought that that would be a way out. This will manage, which will help us control our costs. In terms of the destination management businesses, I think we've addressed that question. The third point is market share. If you look at Sterling, they've enhanced their market share. They're now talking about doubling the rooms, which Sterling has been, I mean, Vikram and Sterling have been talking about. If you look at TCIL, SOTC, we're seeing a whole lot of new customers come in. Similarly, if you talk about some of the DMS businesses, they're also seeing a change in their customer segment. So in reality, I think it's a welcome sign for us that we are actually able to expand our market focus, and hopefully in some of that we are seeing increased market share. Lastly, inflation. I think input costs in our industry led this one. So we've not seen, other than the F&B, which Vikram referred to, otherwise we've seen a lot of these costs being in existence for some time. We hope that with the taming of inflation, we will actually see a reduction in input costs. The positive of that is going to be driving increased business in our direction. So with that, I will conclude. Again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Mahesh, Devashish, Vikram, Vishal, Ram, thank you very much for answering the questions, and have a good day and a good week.
Thank you. On behalf of IIFL Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.